Our message today is called Blueberry Fruit, and it is a continuation from last week, which was the blueberry bush. And the blueberry bush was just a representation of our lives, right? And sometimes our lives can become pretty crowded with things and overgrown. And one of the things I talked about last week that I didn't want to cover at all last week was what it meant to do good works. And so that's what the message is going to be today. It's about that. I'm calling it blueberry fruit because it's just a continuation on. It's the fruit that's supposed to be coming off the branches and stuff. And that's what God wants. He wants us to produce fruit. He wants us to do good works and stuff. So I'm going to show a picture of a slide here. And let me just make sure I can get connected here. And you're going to see this picture. This picture is of beautiful blueberries, you know, the luscious blueberries that are up there. And you can just see, you know how the blueberries get a little light blue dusting that's on them and stuff like that. And you can just see the fullness in there, and it's just so succulent, which to be able to...
Raisins.
What?
That's grapes and raisins.
What are you... What?
Grapes.
Oh.
Grapes and raisins.
I thought that was supposed to be the better blueberries and stuff like that.
We don't follow God's word. As a message.
So the message is this. Some people in this world believe that's good fruit. And they'll tell you how good it is. But really, what they're telling you is something that they've been deceived on, thinking that that is good fruit. That's not good fruit that's up there. All right, I did do that on purpose.
Okay.
This is the one that's the good fruit.
Okay.
This is the one that we're supposed to have. That's the one we can actually look at and say yes. So if you didn't get the connection, all right, bad fruit on the left, good fruit on the right. And you can physically see the difference between those two. Right? And again, that's why we call them blueberry fruit, because we're looking at that. Well, we can also look at this and say bad fruit, good fruit. We can also look at this and say bad works, good works. And you can see the end result of those things. So again, this message today is really about kind of looking at the fruit and the works that's in there. I need to remind you again that salvation is not about works. Okay? So what I am talking about is not how to earn your salvation. Because you can't earn your salvation. Just so we're real clear, I want to give a couple scripture verses on that. Acts 4:12, it says, salvation is found in no one else. And who is it found in? Jesus, exactly. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. There is no other path out there for salvation. You can try, but you know what's going to happen? You're going to start producing fruit that looks like those raisins, or really the diseased stuff that's out there. Also here in Ephesians 2:8-9, this is used so much to emphasize that, is that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Right? A gift from God. You either accept it or you don't. And we love that scripture verse, right? Because even though we have committed sin after sin, we've done horrendous things. And some of us, within the world, right, a murderer or a person that has committed horrendous acts, even, abuse verbally or physically with someone, right? Those individuals have the opportunity in which to be saved, because it's not based upon the things that we have done. And that's hard sometimes for us to accept. Because we think we have to be a good person in order for God to accept us. Well, Christ died on the cross for every individual. Every individual. And He wants no one to go to hell. He wants everyone to be able to be with Him in heaven. So everyone has this free gift. It's not based upon the stuff. This is verse 8 and 9. I want to throw in here verse 10. Which really isn't always spoken too much that goes along with it. But But I want you to look about it in terms, in reference to the message, in terms of the blueberry fruit. So it says here in 2:10, he says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So as we have been given salvation, as we have been, you know, as a gift, and we accept salvation, guess what the end result of that is? What is the culminating experience is that we do good works. Why? Because literally, God commands us to do that. I'm going to say that again. God commands us to do good works. We are not to sit idly saying, "Oh, I'm saved, but I can do whatever I want, I don't have to do anything." He commands us to do good works. He has plans for us as His children to work for Him, to be His witnesses. Very much what Lester said earlier. That we need to be out there. We need to be sharing with what God has for us. But we need to be doing what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And we have to be careful in that aspect. Just to go out and do the works of evangelism doesn't necessarily bring fruit. It's when God directs you and stirs your heart. Maybe gives you a scripture verse as somebody's walking by or there's something happens and you just feel compelled to be able to go over there and pray for that individual. It was really neat. I was down at the county fair this past week and I went down to the grandstands. Fowler Church, which I was really associated, Hope and I were associated with before I came here, they always have a booth over there, a prayer group and stuff like that. And Karen Hunter was there, you know who I'm talking about. Their daughter, Rachel, was supposed, she writes for the column and one of the magazines or the newspapers and stuff. She was supposed to come up Wednesday. We were doing all these contests for the FFA and she never came and stuff. So Karen told me, she says, "Rachel wanted me to tell you that she didn't come, not because she forgot or anything, but she's been sick. She's been, I don't know what the deal is with her. She's really sick and everything." You know what we did? We just gathered together, the three of us. Marie Sampson was there. Three of us, and we just prayed for Rachel. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. So I had a student that was with me. Right? He was talking with his dad. He happened to see his dad there. So I went over to the booth over there. And his student came up to me afterwards, and I was telling him a little bit about that story. And he says, "Oh, is that why you were all huddled together, and they're kind of holding hands, and there you're praying for her?" I said, "Yeah, we were." Right? I had no clue that he was watching. My back was to him all the time. I wasn't doing it to show off. Yeah, I was doing that because we needed to pray for Rachel, right? And those are sometimes the works that we're supposed to do, and we have no idea who's watching what we are doing. All right, so it's just a really good example of how that was set up and looking at that. I've got three scripture verses from the book of Titus, which we're going to go to next, and Titus is not a very big book, but Titus has an awful lot in there about doing good works. Now, I was kind of surprised when I was looking up, you know, and I do like a word search in Scripture to kind of find some of the Scripture verses I'm looking for to be able to present here to you. And it's like Titus came up a lot over and over and over again. Read through Titus. Right? It's a couple chapters before the book of Hebrews. It's a book to Titus, and I just really like the way it's written because it's kind of about works and things that we're supposed to do. So there's some scripture verses that I have about that. So let's look at that. Oh, where are James? Oh no, I have James in there first. All right. So this is that. Before we get to Titus, James is going to be a section in there because James speaks very adamantly about works. And if you know anything about James, he's pretty strong. A while ago we had went through James, the book of James. And chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 says this: "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without works is dead." Right? God has works planned for us to do. If we don't do His work, we're not doing anything. Nothing that lasts. The things we're supposed to be doing are supposed to be working with eternity. Let's go to Titus now. And this is basically talking about our lives and why we would do good works, all right? So in chapter 3, verses 3 through 8 says this, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures," right? Non-Christian, right? Things of the world pull us through and we just do whatever feels right at the time. He says, "We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." Again, it's not about our works, right? We've been saved, not because of the things we've done, but because God has shown us mercy because of His love. He saved us through the washing and of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified in His grace, and justified just means just as if I've never sinned, right? Basically, it's what that means. We might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Now, this next part is, what's our response to being saved and having this gift? And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing good works. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. So a result of knowing God and knowing that it's there is that we are to discipline ourselves to do good works. Now, we're talking all about good works. We're going to get to the point of what those good works are, right? Because I know you're always asking. Everybody has to have a little grocery list of the things that we have to be able to do and signs to prove, in essence, that we're doing the good works that God wants us to do. You're not really going to get that today. I'm going to explain why. But you are going to get some examples of that. And you're going to help me, too. So just be prepared that I'm going to be getting some feedback on this of what's going to be happening here. So we're looking at this Titus thing is that because of the love that God has shown us, our response to that is basically one word. Well, let's make it two. Yes, Lord. Whatever you need me to do, it will be, yes, Lord. It's not going to be, well, I don't want to do that because it's out of my comfort zone. It's going to be, yes, Lord. But I've never. It's always going to be, yes, Lord. Right? And we can rationalize this in terms of how we don't need to do something for the Lord, but we have to respond. It is in our nature to respond to God. How we choose to respond to that is really, really important in terms of eternity. So we're looking at this, and we're going to go to Hebrews now, and again, looking at some of this this response essence of what we do. So in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise," all right? Lifting up His name and keeping Him on the foreheads, you know, and writing His name on the doorposts of all the frames and when we walk through, you know, that sort of thing. Keeping Him first. "The fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." So doing good works as an act of sacrifice? Well, maybe it is. Maybe we need to give up some of our time to do something for an individual that needs us right now. Maybe we need to give up some of our possessions for somebody that needs us right now. And we can do that in so many different ways. We can show kindness. I have to keep telling stories about things that happened this week, right? So, in this week, there's a student that came in. He came in and he was actually... I'm glad he came in, really. He and I actually get along pretty well. But he was kicked out of school for selling a certain paraphernalia near the end of last year. And so I was talking to him about, you know, whether he's going to be coming back into school next year and stuff like that. And I said, I don't know the deal or, you know, all the particulars that went with that. But he says, well, I don't know. He says, the school wants me to go to this place and this place over here. He says, I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do. I said, it would be nice to have you come back. I said, you know, the school really has, you know, a good support program that we can, you know, help with. And he says, well, I don't know. He says, I've been making some really bad choices. And my first response was, well, if you know they're bad, don't do them. You know, in your heart, you know what's bad, you know what's good. You need to start choosing the good ones because of the after effect of doing the bad ones. You know, there's such a price that you have to pay. And even though it's hard sometimes to do the good stuff, this is that sacrifice part, right? There's less drama stuff that you have to deal with later on. Because you're on the right path. And though we have to work at doing the right thing, when we're pulled to want to do the bad stuff, that's our sacrifice. Now here's a kid that doesn't know who God is, but he knows in his heart, because it's right, it's written on our hearts, right? What's right and what's wrong. And he's choosing, in most cases, to not serve in God or do what's right. In this case here, we need to do right because that's what pleases God. And that's what we're looking at in being able to do this process over here. We know that when we're working, who are we really working for? The Lord. Are we working for the state? Are we working for a person that's paying our wages and stuff? Well, in Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not men. Everything that we're supposed to be doing. And even in Proverbs here, it talks about a verse, Proverbs 3:27-28. Now this is, again, this is a bit of that sacrifice that goes along with doing good works. It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. Now remember, Proverbs are really, really wise sayings that have a whole lot of meat jammed into a sentence or two, or just a really short clips. But there's an awful lot there. That if there's goodness within the power that you have, you should do it. Don't hold back. It says, do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow, when you have it with you, when you now have it with you. Again, I'm going to keep telling stories because I think stories help reinforce things. When we're at it, when I was 17 years old and stuff, I remember going to a marketplace, and in that marketplace there was a Christian group, I think, that was collecting for something. And I remember saying to God, I said, I know I had some coins in my pocket and stuff like that. Some coins were more than other coins, right? And I didn't have a lot of money at the time. So I remember saying to God, whatever coin I pull out, that's the one I'm going to give them. So I go and put my hand in my pocket and pull it out. Doggone it, I picked the biggest one. And I was like, you know what I did? I put that back in my pocket and I grabbed a smaller one. And I put that into the little collection and stuff. The guilt just was, it overwhelmed me. And it's like, God, I don't know why I did that. You know, I wasn't trusting Him to be able to know. I mean, I don't know why I needed money. It's whatever money you had. It didn't really matter. The amount was nothing. It was like a $2 coin versus, a 50-cent coin or something like that. Something really nominal. And I remember going back the next day because I figured he would be there. And I was going to give him the $2 coin because I just couldn't live with myself. Wasn't there. I missed the opportunity to be able to share God. It's just like that. If you don't act now, you're not going to have that opportunity always. Sometimes you can. But there's a lot of instances where you need to do it now because it's an opportunity now, and it's the only chance in which you're going to be able to do these good works. Proverbs speaks about that. And here I am, 17-year-old guy, no scripture, some, maybe not really walking with the Lord 100% and stuff like that. But in my heart, I knew what the right thing was to do, and I didn't do it. And I dealt with that, and I still remember that here today, which kind of paves the way, with me. A lot of times if I see someone along the road, I'll stop. And it's hard for me not to, because I know that that's what we need to do as Christians. Now, how about this one here? We're going to look at, again, go to Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Well, here's verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. Again, this goes right along with the theme that we're supposed to be doing good works. The fruit that we have is good works. We need to be prepared in which to do that. Be looking for those sort of things. Don't be walking down the road with blind eye shutters and stuff like that, looking to see where God can move us. Now, this is the part that's going to start to hurt, because I haven't put verse 2 on there. Right? So if you want to know what it means to do good works, let's start looking at that now, because this is where the message starts to go into that area there. And it says this. Right? Be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. To be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. Now, I like this because, in most cases, when we read this, we read it as, don't slander anybody that likes you. Right? We show this where it says, show true humility when you'll be blessed. That's how we read that a lot of times in our own human nature. That is not what God is saying. Don't slander anyone. That is the work that God wants you to do. That's what pleases God. How many times in the last week have you slandered our government? Spoke bad of them? How many times, you know, in the last week have you talked about that work individual or that neighbor or that family member that's that thorn in your side that God just doesn't want to get rid of you? Scripture says, do not slander anyone. That is your good work. And that requires a lot of self-discipline. It requires keeping our mouths closed. Now, you know the saying, if you haven't got anything good to say, don't say anything. Right, your mind is spinning. My mind spins. I always talk about that. My mind is the worst thing that's around there. But we've got to be careful of what we say, because it's very easy to be judgmental, and we are not to do that. Our job is to love one another as Christians. That's the sole job. You let the Holy Spirit work on their heart. You let the Holy Spirit convict them. Our job is to love individuals. And if we're slandering them, that is not a sign of godly love. Right, so here, this is the part that really gets good, right? This is what we want to hear. What it means to do good works. Show true humility, right? A humbleness that your neighbor is to be loved as you love yourself. Oh, where did we hear that before? Right? Those are one of the two commandments that God really wants us to follow. Love the God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two things, you know, all the prophets and everything is hinged upon, and all the whole message is based right upon that little compressed little item that God wants us to do. So we get into this next section here. It's going to be Matthew 25, where it talks about God, or Jesus talks about this, the parable, and the parable is all about the sheep and the goats, and it comes to judgment time, and God separates the sheep and the goats. And he says to the sheep, right, the people on his right, he says, come to me. Right? And he says, I wrote it down over here, so let me look at that, make sure I've got this right. Who are blessed. Come to me who are blessed. He says, for you gave me food when I was hungry. You gave me drink when I was thirsty. You gave me shelter when I needed it. You gave me clothing when I needed it. You came to visit me when I was sick. You came to visit me when I was in prison. And you know what the response to these individuals was to this leader here? It goes right here in Matthew 25, 37 through 40, says, then the righteous will answer them, right? Those people, those sheep that was put on this right. Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or need clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Right? When was the last time you saw Jesus walking down the street? When was the last time, God, you saw Jesus sitting in the pew right next to you here at church? Where when you were at home? You know, when you're watching TV or sitting there with your family. Right? That's the question. When did we see you doing that? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Which is really important. And then the parable kind of continues on and says, he says to the goats, right? The ones on his left. And he said, depart from me, you who are cursed. Right? The first one is, come to me, you who are blessed. Now he says, depart from me, you who are cursed. For when I was hungry, you did not give me food. When I was thirsty, you did not give me drink. When I needed clothing, you did not give me clothing. When I was a stranger, you did not let me in. When I was sick, you didn't help me. When I was in prison, you didn't come visit me. And their response is, which is kind of interesting, because it begins this way here in verses 44 and 46. They will answer, Lord, right? They still call him Lord, just as the first individuals did. When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, which is hell, but the righteous to eternal life. Our works, our actions, our responses to the individuals have long-term consequences with God. If you have faith, but do not have the works, it's dead. That's hard to accept. Both these individuals, those that did the works, those that did not do the works, all both called God Lord. One worked, one didn't. So we look at that, and then the next one is, the scripture verse that I've got here is this here. Remember, I showed this first part last week about the fig tree and the axe that was coming. This is John the Baptist coming in and chopping this down, right? So let me reread that in chapter 3 of Luke, verse 9. He says, the axe is ready at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. We reference that sort of thing, right? So this is now the response of the people that were hearing that. What should we do then? The crowd asked. Right? This is the whole thing. They understood Jesus was speaking to them that you're about ready to be cut out if you don't do and produce good fruit. And John answered them, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none. The one who has food should do the same. Isn't that the same message that Jesus was using in the parable that we just read about the sheep and the goats? Right? When we go, those possessions are gone, and it doesn't really matter, so why not? I like what Doran was saying, stirring up food for this big apocalypse that's going to be coming, and you might have 3 years worth of food stuff, but he says, I know people are just going to come over to my house anyhow and grab it, so it's not going to last very long anyhow, and I'll be willing to share it, right? That's the attitude we need to have. Yes, we need to be prepared, but yes, we need to be prepared to share as well. And still trust God that He will carry us through in those things. Whatever happens, we need to do those things that please God, right? So we should share that stuff that we have. Now, this continues on. And it goes, tax collectors who also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Right? These are the Jewish tax collectors working for the Roman Empire, collecting money from their Jewish friends, neighbors, and all that stuff to help the Roman government, which the Jewish people hate. Tax collectors were the scum of the earth in terms of being Jewish and doing that job. What are they supposed to do? So John responds to them, don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Did he tell them to quit his job? No. Did he tell them just to change your clothing? Look nice when you go there, so that, you know, or look poor, so that, you know. I go to the kids sometimes at lunchtime and say, food for the poor, food for the poor, you know, going around trying to get some of their scraps and stuff like that to eat, just for fun. And then look at this. Then some soldiers asked them, what should we do? Right? Soldiers, right? There's a whole deal that was said. These are individuals that want to know what the good works are they're supposed to be doing. Should we leave the military? And he says this. Don't extort money and don't abuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. It's not about the work that you're doing. It's how you do the work and where you are that counts. Everybody's gifted in different fields and stuff like that, and so we can understand that and to look at this. Let me show you some other scripture that talks about how we are to respond. In this area, in Ephesians 5 and 6, there's an awful lot of this, and 2 Colossians speaks about it too. Wives, you are to submit to your husbands. Right now, I'm not going to go into all of that, what that means and everything. We've done that before. Yeah, but it's like, it's not really hard. It's not easy to do. But Jesus talks about man being the head of the household in terms of the way, just as Christ is the head of the church, right? And we are supposed to submit to Christ. And so we submit to one another is really what it comes down to. Well, it doesn't leave the husbands without something, but you're supposed to love your wives. You're supposed to make her holy, according to this scripture. So that she has no problem submitting to you because you are doing everything in order to raise her up, make her, you know, that crowned jewel. And it all works together. These are things that when you are married, this is how you treat your spouse. You don't belittle them with your words. You don't belittle them by not speaking to them. You don't belittle them by doing things that you know are going to destroy that relationship. Doesn't stop there. It goes to children. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. Again, there's some blessings that go along with that. So whatever you are, whatever stage of life you're at, God expects you to do good works. Especially with those closest around you. Well, it doesn't stop there. Slaves, or fathers, do not exasperate your children. I can see that sometimes, or sometimes it's the mother, too, can exasperate the children. But the idea is we need to have love within the family. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. And then masters, treat your slaves. Don't threaten them. I'm really simplified that. My point is that this is your good work, whatever you're doing. Now, the next slide, I'm going to need some participation that goes with it, right? Because I have 10 professions in the local area here. I just kind of listed some others. There's a lot more than that, so not going to do that. But what if one of the individual went up to John the Baptist when they were saying, a soldier, or if they were, not knowing what to do even within their profession? How do we do good works? What if you were a corrections officer? What would Jesus say to you about how you should do good works within your profession? What's that?
Respect.
Show respect to every individual that you work with, co-workers and prisoners. Right now, I understand that there's rules that you've got to follow, right? You're not giving those soldiers more than what they're, or the soldiers, like the prisoners, more than what they're supposed to be, because that's not, all right, they'll take advantage of that. But you can show respect. And I've heard of stories where the corrections officers take someone into a certain room where there's no cameras, and they come out a little bruised. Right? That does not please God. So, what would Jesus say? Don't do that sort of thing. Right? That's not part of that. Would he say, stop being a corrections officer? I don't believe so. You might say, if that bothers you, get out of that profession and go to someplace else. Right? So we're looking at it. So, okay, here's another one. You're a county worker, social worker, where you work on the road, DMV, anything, social that goes along with that. What would God expect you to do? What would He say about these individuals? Yeah, and what comes to my mind? Be patient with those people that don't know how to fill out those forms.
That's right.
know what I mean? Yes. Just be patient with them. You know, they're going through crisis right now, and it's like you have to fill these forms and stuff. And it's like, well, it's the same person I had yesterday that came in, and it was the same type of person 3 weeks. You know, just always have patience with them, just as the Lord would have patience with you. Yeah, show that respect. Thanks, Doran. It goes with that. How about this one here? Teacher. Now, this one I had to put in here, just not because of that, because, you know, that is a big profession around the area over here, right? What about teachers? Well, how should they act? Okay, we got the patience things again. Yeah, be fair. Yeah, exactly. In my mind, also have a godly standard in how they're supposed to work in the classroom and stuff. Be consistent with that for in with everyone. Yeah. Yeah, that's what God would say with that.
What if we were studying this past week? If God called you, and I'm thinking about it as a teacher, if God called you to teach, then just teach. Don't go beyond what God gives you to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes people overstep.
Yeah, they like to be a guidance counselor. Yeah, they like to be their friend, right? The student's friend, and there's a lot of that stuff that happens.
Then they give you the gift of help. They're just help.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those are good words there. Okay, what if you're a store clerk? What would God say to you?
Customer service.
Yeah, customer service. I like that. But again, what I'm thinking is you should be a cheerful person when they're coming through that line. Oh, I just met somebody that was there. Kenny's just yesterday when I went in. This girl was just so bubbly and everything. It made me feel good.
Yes.
Right? That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And I couldn't find cards and stuff. And I could see her saying, oh, you stupid idiot. They're right on those posts over there, you know. But it's like, no, she said, oh, I don't know. She's last store I was at. They were on the side aisle. I said, I don't know where they are in this one here. I just started working. And it's like, she was really good. She got service for me to be able to find a deck of cards so I can take those back with the kids and stuff. She's very positive. And I really thanked her just to be, that was nice. I really appreciated that sort of thing. Makes a difference in your lives. Okay, let's look at number 5. You're a construction worker. Now, what about those? The guys have been working construction and stuff. What's that?
Perfect work.
Perfect work, yeah. Good. So that you do quality work. The other thing I was thinking about is your language. Right? A lot of the construction workers are pretty foul-mouthed and you know, tell stories and stuff like that. Don't be part of that that we're setting up in here. How about being a politician in our area? So whether it's the town, village, state, you know, county, whatever it is, what would God say there?
Be honest.
What's that?
Be honest.
Yeah, be honest is good.
Slander.
Yeah. Slander. Yeah. All right. How about a realtor?
Truthful.
Honesty. Yes.
You'd want honesty that would go into that. Good. What about being a nurse or a caretaker? I'm hearing compassion. Anything else? Yeah, you should have a heart to really meet the needs of those individuals over there. Salesperson.
Okay.
You like honesty and stuff. Anybody else?
Polite.
What is it?
Friendly.
Friendly, yeah.
Polite.
Okay, good, good, good. Yeah, I'm fine. How about if you're a National Grid telephone service person? Yeah. Yeah, willing to help others and whatever, you know, we've had that happen before, you know, as people come down through and said, hey, we need help with this, and, you know, take the time to help them or at least put them in contact with the right person. Now, I want to tell you, this was a little subliminal thing that was in there. You guys gave all the answers. You know what it means to do good works, regardless of the profession that you're in. You already know the answers. That leaves no excuse for you to do God's work correctly. Didn't know that was coming, did you? Yeah, but it's really true. We do. It's just that we have to make the choice to do what we're supposed to do. It is so important that we have that, right? So we're going to go back to Titus. Again, there's an awful lot that's inside Titus. Chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure, right? These are the ones that are those devoted to God and know His Word, right? That's what we're going to talk about, that has His righteousness. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, right? Remember that parable that they both called the Master Lord? They claim to know God, but their actions deny Him. Their works deny Him. The way they treat others deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Because you know what they do? They justify themselves and their actions based upon their own criteria, not God's. So how many slanderous words are we supposed to say? Zero. Whose standard is that? That's God's standards. If it was my standard, I probably wouldn't say I'm to hope because I wouldn't understand. That would be wrong. But to someone else, I got to have a whole boatload of slanderous words and feel justified for saying those things. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, we've got, this is second to last verse it says here, because this is not easy to do, right? This is hard to do. It's a sacrifice to do good works. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Don't you just love pulling these scripture verses out? Is there any excuse for you not to do good work? Thank you. On Zoom, they said no. Okay? There's no excuse because God has already given you and equipped you to do good works. You cannot justify it saying, well, if I read more scripture, I'll do better. No. Right now, as of today, and every moment on, you have the power in which to do good works because God has already gifted you that. He's gifted you the Holy Spirit to give you the strength, the knowledge, the wisdom. We just need to lean on Him. So you see, this whole message is not about you've got to do this as a checkoff list. You've got to do this as a checkoff list. I don't know what's going to happen to you this week. Who are you going to come in contact with? What I know you're supposed to do is love those individuals that you come in contact with. Show the love of God through your actions, through your works. Because you have been gifted salvation. The answer to that is, yes, Lord, I shall follow your commands and follow the proddings of the Holy Spirit to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't think God really cares what job you do. Right? He may put some jobs in line for you and may want you to be in a certain place. You need to listen to his calling there. God can use you anywhere. And any time. Even if you are dying of cancer, stage 4, you're on painkillers, God can even use you there. I have seen people come to know God the last moments of their lives because of the witness that an individual was while they were dying. Unreal, the power of that. So was it wrong for them to go through that cancer? So that someone could be saved? I don't know. That's a hard one. God knows the answer. I trust Him more than anything. Last verse that I've got, Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 through 15. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, right? So the good works that you do doesn't only help those around you, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in the prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Because God has blessed us, we bless others. And that is good works. That's the fruit that we're supposed to have. So I'm going to go back to this one picture right here of that good fruit. I like this picture and I chose this one specifically. The first one you saw was all that dried up, diseased fruit, right? This one here, you see the plumpness of it, but you also see something else in there. What is that? You see those hands in there. I think of those hands as being God's hands that's holding that fruit, us. Right? And the nurturing that comes with it. Without God, you can't do good works. If you think you can be good fruit in a blueberry patch all by yourself, you're being self-deceived. Oh, but I've been a Christian forever. You're being self-deceived. We all need Christ 100%. We need His hands holding us, you know, right, and protecting us and shielding us so that we have the strength and the power to be able to do those good works, whatever they may be. Amen? Lord, I just thank You for this word that we have here today. I just pray that the Holy Spirit is moving and just touching the lives of individuals around here to know that we have a responsibility as Christians. And that responsibility is to say yes, Lord, to do His work and trust Him. We need to show love to everyone that goes around us, not just the ones we want to. We need to watch what we say. We need to watch what we do. We need to use You as a standard, Lord, in all that we do. So that You are pleased. I thank You for Your word, Lord, here today. This we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.